Today's shir is Masechta Ksuvos Daf Kovav. We will begin on Daf Kuf Hey Amud Beis, 8 lines from the bottom. The Gemara continues to discuss concept of Shaychet, concept of bribery. Says the Gemara, Rav Anan Aislei Hu Gavra Kanta De Gildani De Begili. Somebody brought to Rav Anan a basket of small gilun of fish. Amalei Mai Viditech. So Rav Anan asked this person, what is your business here? Why are you bringing me these fish? So he said, Dinisli, I have it in Tyra, and therefore I brought this to you, and now I'm asking you to get involved in the Din Tyra. So like Kabumine, Rav Anan refused to accept the gift. Amalei, and he said, Psun l'chaladina, I'm disqualified to be a Dayan. Amalei, the Dina, the Maloi Bina. So the person said, if you can't be a Dayan to this Din Tyra, Kabuli l'kabuli l'kabul mar, at least do me a favor and accept my gift. D'lo limna ma mikruvi bikurim, for you should not prevent me from being able to give you a gift. For giving you a Talmud Chacham, a gift, is like bringing bikurim, as we're going to learn, the Tanya. The Pasuk says, regarding Elisha, v'ishba mebal shloisha, a person came from Baal Shloisha, v'yovel isha l'kim, and he brought to Elisha, the isha l'kim, lechem bikurim, esrim lechem sa'irim, he brought 20 loaves of barley bread, v'kamel b'tzikloinai, and fresh kernels in their husks. So the question is, v'chi Elisha oichel bikurim hava? Was Elisha an individual ate bikurim? As Rashi says, Elisha wasn't a kohen. Elisha was from Shevet Gad. As Tosfos explains, Elisha did not live in Yerushalayim. This story took place in the Shomron, and bikurim must be eaten only in Yerushalayim. And Elohim Melech to teach us, Kol HaMevi Daron Talmud Chacham, whoever brings a gift to Talmud Chacham, Kilo Makar Bikurim, is as if he brought Bikurim. And the Mefarshim explain, what is the connection between Bikurim and bringing a gift to Talmud Chacham? So one pshat I saw is that the word Bikurim has in it the word Baruch, blessed. And the Gemara also says, Tekev L'Talmud Chacham Bracha, Talmud Chachamim bring Bracha to the world. And that's the connection between Bikurim and Talmud Chacham. Another pshat that I saw is that the entire purpose of bringing Bikurim is to represent Hakaras HaToyf. As the Gemara says, Adam Yoyred L'Sodehu, a person goes to his field, V'raya Tainer Shebikra, and he sees his fruits as the first fruits begin to ripen. And he takes those fruits and he puts them into a basket and he brings them up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he recognizes and identifies and says that everything he has is not from what he himself earned, rather everything he has he received because HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave it to him. That is Hakaras HaToyf. Similarly, when a person brings a gift to Talmud Chacham, he's representing and recognizing the tremendous hashpah, the tremendous positive influence Talmidei Chachamim bring to our world. And in Hakaras HaToyf to them, he gives them a gift. That is the connection between Bikurim and giving a Talmud Chacham a gift. So that's why this person wanted Rav Anan to accept the gift. Amalei, Kabuli loy be'in in the Kabul. Originally, I did not want to accept this gift from you. However, hashta da amrit li tama, now that you explain to me the reason, mikabilna, I will accept the gift. However, this individual had come to Rav Anan for Din Torah, which Rav Anan cannot undertake. So Shadre l'kamed Rav Nachman. He sent this individual to Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman should deal with the Din Torah. Shalach lei, and Rav Anan sent Rav Nachman a message. Nedaini mar l'hai gavra. Please undertake judging the case for this person. Danon anon pesilna l'eladine. For I, Anon, am disqualified, so therefore I ask you to please take on the case. Omar, so Rav Nachman said to himself, Midas Shalach li hachi, since Rav Anon sent that he's disqualified, What makes him disqualified? Shmami not krevihu. It must be because this individual is a relative of Rav Onan's. Have a come, deinai de yasmin kamei. There was a dentira of Yosimim standing before Rav Nachman at that time. Omer, so Rav Nachman said, hi essay, taking care of this dentira for these Yosimim is a mitzvah essay, and hi essay, treating a relative of Rav Onan is also an essay. It's the essay of Kavra Torah, of as Hashem Elokecha Tirah. Essay the Kavra Torah Odif. And the essay of Kavra Torah is greater and more important than the essay of taking care of the Din Torah of the assignment. And that's why Salke Ladine de Yasmi, he set aside the Din Torah of the assignment, V'achse Ladine, and began the Din Torah or of Anan. So it's a very fundamental machlokes Rishonim and Achronim. What is the halacha? In this situation, Rav Nachman certainly should not have set aside the Din Torah of the Yosimim, because this individual was really not a relative of Rav Onan. It was a mistake. But what is the halacha when there is a relative of a Talmud Chacham? Should the Din Torah of the relative of a Talmud Chacham supersede any other Din Torah? So Rishonim and Paiskim clearly indicate that the Din Torah of a Talmud Chacham himself certainly supersedes all other Dinei Torah. That's real Kavra Torah. Also, there's a concern that the Talmud Chacham has to be learning and teaching Torah, and therefore we don't want to delay him with Dinei Torah. The question, however, here is regarding someone who's a relative of a Talmud Chacham. Ritva quotes his Rebbe that included in Kavra Torah is taking care of the relatives of Talmud Chachamim, and therefore that Din Torah supersedes all other Dinei Torah. And Rama quotes Ritva Lahalocha. The Bach disagrees with the Rama, and the Bach says that if it's only a relative of Talmud Chacham, it doesn't supersede every other Din Torah. The Pesach Tshuva quotes Shvus Yaakov that paskins this way. He agrees with the Bach that normally the Din Torah of a relative of Talmud Chacham doesn't supersede other Dinei Torah. Only in a situation where the Talmud Chacham specifically requested that his relative's Din Torah go first, then does his Din Torah supersede the other Din Torah. It continues the Gemara. So now that Rav Nachman undertook this Din Torah under the mistaken impression that this was a relative of Rav Anan, now the Baldin, Kivan the Chaz of Baldin, a Yokra the Ka'avadle, the other litigant against this individual, who didn't understand what was happening here, he knew that this litigant that was against him wasn't a Talmud Chacham, wasn't a relative of a Talmud Chacham, yet he saw what tremendous honor and respect he was receiving. Istatim Tanosei, his arguments were blocked. It caused him to become confused and not be able to properly articulate his case. And therefore, this Din Torah ended up not being conducted as properly as it should have. So as the Mashal explains, Rav Onan actually did, again, it's Rav Onan according to his Madrega, Rav Onan actually did two wrong things. The first wrong thing is that he ultimately did take the fish and eat them. And the second thing that he did wrong was that he sent this message to Rav Nachman, which ultimately led to a Din Torah in which one of these sides became confused. So as the Mashal explains, Mida Keneged Mida, Rav Onan was punished. Rav Onan have a rogo Eliyahu de Osagabei. Rav Eliyahu Anavi would visit Rav Onan, Davimassimli say to Eliyahu, and he would teach him Brice of Eliyahu, different Brices. Kivin Davar Hachi, once Rav Anan did this, so Istalik, Eliyahu no longer revealed himself to him. Yosef b'tanaisa b'arachmi. So Rav Anan sat in the tainus and affairs to daven that Eliyahu should return. So here says the Marsha, he ate what he wasn't supposed to eat, and now he had to sit in the fast. So then for us, Eliyahu came back. Ki yosef have a mavis le'b'usei. When Eliyahu came back now, Rav Anan was scared of Eliyahu. And here too, he had caused that one of the litigants, the entire should become confused and scared. So his punishment was that he became scared. So over the Tevosa, Rav Anan made a chest, the Yosekamei, and that's how he sat in front of Eliyahu. Ad the Apikle Sidre, until he finished learning all the brises. Vahani the Amri, and this is what we know, the Seid of Eliyahu, the Seid of the brises of Eliyahu, have Seid of Eliyahu Rabba, the bigger order, Seid of Eliyahu Zutin, the smaller one. The bigger one was taught before this episode, and the smaller one was taught after this episode. Obviously, learning with the Talmud sitting in a chest is not a very conducive way of learning. And as Tysus explains, 80% of Seid Eliyahu was said, the Eliyahu Rabba's 80% was said before the episode, and only 20% was learned after this episode. Says the Gemara, B'shnei Rav Yosef have a rischa. In the time of Rav Yosef, there was an anger from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and there was hunger in the land. Amle Rabbanan l'Rav Yosef. So Rabbanan said to Rav Yosef, L'boy ma'rachme, davin, amlehu, hashta, omali Elisha. If in the time of Elisha, the chav Rabbanan miftarei mekamei, when the Talmidim would leave Elisha, have a peisha trei alfin amos rabosin, 2,200 Talmidim would remain. Be'idin rischa lo have a boy rachme. When there was anger from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he didn't daven. And no, the boy rachme, and I should daven. So Mepharshim asked, we know that is part of our religion, that we daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu when we have tzaras. So why is the Gemara suggesting that we shouldn't daven? So I saw a number of terutzim. One terutz that the Mashah says is there's a different types of hunger. Sometimes there's hunger that there's a shortage of food in the world. In such circumstances, certainly tefillah is in order. But sometimes there is enough food in the world, there's just inflation, and the cost of food is high. That is not a reason for tefillah. Another pshat that I saw is that if the hunger affects the entire world, that's a situation to daven. But if the hunger only affects certain locations, then tefillah is not to be said. A third pshat is as the Gemara, the Pnei Yeshua says, as the Gemara seems to indicate. The Gemara says, "Be'idin rischa." There are times that HaKadosh Baruch Hu Rachman al Tzlon is angry at us. At such time, tefillah will not help. Ask the Gemara, "Umemai de pai shihachi." How do we know there were 2,200 Talmidim left to Elisha? Says the Gemara, "The Ksiv," because the pasuk says, the pasuk continues what we learned at the beginning of the Shia, the pasuk was brought to Elisha. Elisha's servant said, what can I put in front of 100 men? Now what does it mean that he had 22 portions, as the pasuk says, to put in front of 100 people? If it's to mean that he's going to put 22 portions in front of 100 people, so as the Gemara, b'shnei b'tzuras tova hava, in a hunger year, taking 22 portions and dividing it amongst 100 people is plenty of food. El kol chad v'chad, what he meant to say was, we're going to take each portion and give it kamei mei'ish, give it in front of 100 people. So we see that there were 2,200 people, one portion per 100, 22 times 100 equal 2,200. Ki have a mifti rabbanim be'rav. When the Talmidim would leave the yeshiva of Rav, have a paishi alfo mos rabbanon. They would leave behind 1,200 Talmidim. Mibei Rav Huna, when the Talmidim left Rav Huna, have a paishi tamni mei rabbanon. 800 Talmidim would be left. Says the Gemara, Rav Huna have a dorish betlei samaroi. Rav Huna would say a shir with 13 spokesmen. As the Ben Yoyada explains, Rav Huna said a shir to a very large group of people. And since he said it to such a large group of people, there was no room large enough to hold all these people. So he said it outdoors. But as we also know, In those days when a shear was given, the Magid Shear would say the shear to a meturgman, to a spokesperson, and then that spokesperson would say over the shear loudly to all the listeners. Since Rav Huna had such a large crowd, and he was saying it outdoors, he needed 13 spokesmen to say over the shear. Kavakaim Rabbonim Masifta Rav Huna, when the Talmidim would leave the yeshiva Rav Huna, v'naftzi glamayu, so again, continues the Ben Yoyad explaining, since the shear was set outdoors, it was dusty. So their clothing would get dusty, and when they would get up, they would brush off their clothing to remove the dust. Have a salak afka, a cloud of dust would rise, the kasle leyoyma, and would obscure the light of the day. V'amri b'marava, and they would say in Etzisrael, kamalei m'sifted Rav Huna b'avlo. They just got up from the shear of Rav Huna and Bavel. So Pasha Pshat in the Gemara is that such a large cloud of dust would rise when they got up that all the way from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael this cloud would be visible. However, many Mefarshim take exception with this Pshat. Bnei Yeshua, Bavel to Eretz Yisrael is quite a distance to see the dust from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael. And therefore he explains, the Pnei Yeshua explains Pshat in the Gemara, that in Eretz Yisrael, if there was a very cloudy day, they would say, this day is cloudy, just like the cloud which is formed from the dust of the Talmidim of Rav Huna when they get up from Shir. They would use that as a model for a cloudy day. The Mashah explains the Gemara homiletically. He says, we know that the midos, the behavior of a person, are called his clothing. As the Pasuk says, B'chol eis yu begodecho levonim. At all times, your clothing should be white. It doesn't mean that we have to wear white clothing. It means that at all times, our behavior should be levonim, should be perfect. Says the Gemara, Mashah says, that besides these Talmidim of Rav Huna, who were learning Torah from Rav Huna, they also had wonderful midos. And the avak of the glimus, the influence of their midos toivus, were able to kasele leyoyma, to obscure the sun. The sun is always the example of avodah zarah. They used to worship the sun, and those talmidim with their wonderful midos toivus were able to prevail that the goyim, the oivdei avodah zarah, should not have any influence over Klal Yisrael. Kimifti Rabbonim Bei Rabbi Rav Yosef. When the Talmidim would leave the yeshiva Rabbi Rav Yosef, have a Paisha Abimei Rabbonim. There would be 400 Talmidim left. For Karl Nafshah Yasmin, they would call themselves orphans, because as we learned, previously there were 2,200 Talmidim, 1,200 Talmidim, 800 Talmidim, now there were only 400 Talmidim left. Kiav Mifti Rabbonim Bei Abaya, Vamalem Bei Rapapa, Vamalem Bei Rav Ashi, have a Paisha Maser Rabbonim. There would be 200 Talmidim left. The Kari Nafshah Yasmi, the Yasmi, they were calling themselves orphans of orphans. And as I saw from Simcha Zisel Brody, the Rosh Yeshiva of Chevron, he says, what is the lesson of our Gemara? The lesson of our Gemara is that how do we measure the success of a yeshiva? The success of a yeshiva is not measured what happens during the Zman. The success of yeshiva is measured by the Bein Hazmanim. How many Talmidim are left in the yeshiva, still learning in yeshiva, even Kiyav Mifti Rabbonin, when everybody else went home? And the more Talmidim that are left, that are still showing their interest and great desire to learn Torah, even when it's not the time for yeshiva, that is the proof of the success of the yeshiva, of the success of the Talmidei HaYeshiva. Amar Rav Yitzchak Baradifi, Amar Rav Ami, Mavakri Mumin Shebishlayim, those who would examine the animals that were made hegdish in Yerushalayim, because we know if an animal has a mum, if it has a blemish, it can't be brought as a carbon. They will receive their wages from the Machtzis HaShekel. And as Tosfos asks, the Gemara says in Masechet Bechoris that if one checks a Bechor, he's not allowed to take salary. So how does our Gemara say Mavakri Mumin? So one Teretz Taisa says that that halacha that a salary is not allowed to be taken for checking mumin is only by Bechor, not by all other animals. And the explanation is very simple. By a bechor, if a bechor is identified as a balmum, the animal becomes chulin, and it can be used to be eaten, and it doesn't have to be replaced. On the other hand, all other kabbanis, all other animals that are made as a hegdish, even if they're identified as balei mum, they have to be replaced. So there is no concern that somebody's going to say the wrong thing, because there's no gain, another animal will have to replace it. Another pshat that Tosfos gives is similar to what we explained in the previous year. Since these people, this is what they did for full-time profession, this is what they did all the time, the community has the ability, has the responsibility to provide them with wages. And in fact, the Taz quotes Tosfos to as the basis that Rabbonim are paid a salary. In fact, the Rama cites an Abarbanel who gives another reason why Rabbonim should be paid. He says if Rabbonim would have to be forced to occupy themselves with other professions, their position and honor would be belittled, and they wouldn't receive the proper respect. Therefore, says the Rama, that if a Rav is able to support himself and not take a salary from the community, and his position is honored, it's actually commendable. The Mashal disagrees, and he says that even a Rav who's able to support himself should still take a salary, because he says ultimately taking time to work will lessen the amount of time for learning and teaching Torah, and the Rav has that as his main responsibility. And similarly, Rav Moshe says that even though the Rama says that a Talmud Chacham who could afford not to take a salary is commendable, but Rav Moshe says people have to be very careful to make sure that if they're not taking a salary and they're, as the Rav, they're just spending their time doing other things, if it will not affect his learning and his teaching, he should be careful to make sure to remember his primary responsibility as a Rav is to learn and to teach. Amr Taira. Amr Yehuda Meshmul. Tamid Acham HaMeladim Hilchah Shechita L'Kohanim. Tamid Acham will teach Hilchah Shechita to Kohanim. Hayim Noit Nuschar Metrumas Alishka. Will take their wages from the Trumas Alishka. And as the Mepharshim explain, even though the Halacha is Shechita K'sher Bazar, the Shechita of Kabbanis do not have to be done by Kohanim, typically the Kohanim insisted that they should do the Shechita. And therefore, since we want to make sure that the shechita is done properly, the community would pay for the teachers of the kohanim to teach them hilchas shechita. Amar Rav Gidol Rav, Talmid Chacham HaMeladim Hilchas Kmitzah LeKohanim. They would teach the hilchas kmitzah to kohanim. Also, noitn schar metrumas alishka. And as Tosfos points out, it's not only shechita and kmitzah; it's all the avoidus that the kohanim had to do in the Beis Hamikdash. Amar Rav Bebechan, Amar Rav Yochanan, Magiyei Sfarim Shebishlayim. The Seifrim, Hayinaitan Scharim and Trumas Alishka, would receive their wages from the Trumas Alishka. And here too, there are a number of opinions on how to explain the Gemara. Some explain that since the Gemara we learned earlier in our Masechta says, Al Tashkein Baha'alecha Avla, we have to be Zasefer Shein Amuga, we have to be careful that all the Sefer Torah, Tefillin, and Mezuzos that are in our homes are correct. So the community paid an appointed shofarim to do make sure that all these svarim are correct. However, other mefarshim don't agree with that approach, because why should the community pay for a sofer to make sure the my sefer Torah and tefillin are in good order? And they therefore explain it's referring to the sefer Torah that was kept in the Azara, that sefer Torah was the sefer Torah from which they read on Yom Kippur, and that was the sefer Torah in which they looked, from which the kohanim knew what was the proper way of doing the avoida, and therefore this was communal need, and therefore was paid out of communal funds. Another pshat that I saw is that in the Azara there was the Sefer Ezra. There was a Sefer Torah written by Ezra Sefer, which was considered the most authoritative Sefer Torah from which all other Sefer Torah were written, and they paid Seferim to make sure that that sefer was kept in good order, because that was the sefer in which all other sifrei Torah were written. Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav, Noshim ha'orgoyes b'proiches, the women who would weave the curtains of the Beis HaMikdash, noitn schara mitrumas halishka, would receive their wages from the trumas halishka. Ani Omer, mikotche b'dekabayis, however, I say that they received their wages from the kotche b'dekabayis, hoil proiches takas binyan asuyas, the curtains were made for, as a, instead of the wall. So as the Mefarshim explained, the mandom that says that they received the curtains were made from Trumas HaLishka, as we know on Yom Kippur, blood was sprinkled on these proiches, so it's part of the avoid of kabbonis, and just like all kabbonis funding came from those machzis hashekel, so too the curtains came from the machzis hashekel. The other mandama, however, says that as we know, the Beis HaMikdash Sheni was a very tall edifice, and the entire width available in the Beis HaMikdash for the wall between the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadoshim was only an amma. But such a tall wall cannot stand when it was only an amma thick. So what they did was they made two proiches, they made two curtains, one at the beginning of the amma and one at the end of the amma, to serve as the separation between the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So since these proiches took the place of the wall of a Beis HaMikdash, so just like all the rest of the actual building of the Beis HaMikdash came from the Bedek HaBayis fund, so too that this proiches come from that fund. Meisvei asked the Gemara, Narshim Aargoyes B'proiches, women who weave the curtains, or Beis Garmu Ma'is Lechem Aponim, the Beis Garmu that built, that took care of the Lechem Aponim, or Beis Aftinis that made the Ketoris, so here it clearly says that the curtains came from Trumas HaLishka, not from the Bedek HaBayis. Answers the Gemara, Hosom B'Devavi, that Braisa is referring to the curtains that were made at the entrances. Dom Rav Zeir Amarav, Shloisha Asri Proikos Hai B'Migdash Sheni, there were 13 curtains in the Beis HaMikdash Sheni, Shiva Kneged Shiva Sharim, 7 were for the 7 gateways of the courtyard, Echad lepeskel shel heichel, one was for the entrance to the heichel. Echad lepeskel shel ulam, shnayim bedvir, two were before the dvir was the inner kodesh. Shnayim keneg maliyah, and two were parallel to them on the upper floor. Those certainly were made from the trumas halishka. Tana rabbanan, noshim hamegadlois b'neim leparo, and as Rashi reviews, we know there was a very fundamental dispute between us and the Tzedakim regarding the avoid of the Parah Aduma. We hold that a Kohen who's a Tful Yoim, a Kohen who went to the mikveh on that day, even though he didn't yet have Harav Shemesh, the day did not end, is kosher to do the avoid of the Parah Aduma. The Tzedakim, however, disagreed. So they were specifically careful to use a Kohen who was a Tful Yoyim to do the Avoida of the Parah Aduma. However, since they were using a Kohen who was somewhat Tamei, to show that everything else regarding the Avoida of the Parah Aduma was done, the Tahara, they were careful that all the other aspects were done with people who are on the highest level of Tahara. What does that mean, a person who's in the highest level of Tahara? It's a person who was never in his life exposed to Tumah. Who is such an individual? It's an individual whose mother, when she was pregnant with him, would be brought to certain courtyards, that these courtyards were under a bed of stone. So the likelihood of any mace being under the ground was very remote, because it's a bed of stone. Moreover, they would build a platform, a tefach, above the floor of these courtyards. In case there was any tumah under the floor of the courtyard, that platform would serve as a mechitza, from preventing the tumah to rise up. And the women would enter these courtyards when they were still pregnant, have their children, and raise their children in this secluded courtyard, never exposed to Tumah, And these children ultimately were the individuals who do all the preparatory work of the Parah Aduma. Says the Braisa, Noshim Hamagadlis B'Neim L'Paro, the women who would raise their children to do all this work of the Parah Aduma, so this was a great sacrifice to have to live in the secluded courtyard, Hayunaitl Nusharim B'Trumas Halishka, would receive the wages for doing this from the Trumas Halishka. Abishol Omer, however, Abishol disagrees. He says, Noshim Yikaris of Yishalayim, there were wealthy women in Yishalayim, Hayuzanus or some, Mepharnas or some, they would be the ones that would support the women who raised their children this way. Before we begin the next sugya, we just should familiarize ourselves with certain terminology and what happened with the Machzis HaShekel. As we learned in Masechta Shkolim, every year in Chodesh Adar, all of the members of Klal Yisrael would contribute to Machzis HaShekel, whose primary use was to fund the Karbonis. But our sugya that we're going to learn now will discuss what other uses were made of those funds. And as the Gemara goes on to explain in Masechta Shkolim, B'Praisah Pesach, B'Praisah Shavuos, B'Praisah Chag, before Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos, they would take pushkas, they would take large canisters, and they would take from the new coins to use for the kabbonis. That's called Trumas Halishka. If we took coins before Pesach, any coins that weren't used up till Shavuos, or we were going to take coins again, are called Meiser Trumas Halishka. The halacha also is that the coins that were collected for 1 year cannot be used for the next year. So all the coins that were collected this year that were left over are called shiorei halishka, the remnants of the lishka. Says the Gemara, Barmi named Rav Huna Merav. Rav Huna asked Rav, klisharis, the klisharis that were used for kabonis, ma shiyas mekotche bede kabayis, may they be made from Kotchei Bedek Abayis, from the fund that was used to maintain the Beis HaMikdash. Do we say Tzarchei Mizbeach Ninu, that's considered part of the Mizbeach upkeep? And just like the Mizbeach comes from the Bedek Abayis, so too should the Klisharus come from the Bedek Abayis, and therefore Kotchei Bedek Abayis also, or Tzarch Karban Ninu, do we say that the Klisharus are primarily there for Kabonis, and since they're primarily there for Kabonis, Metrumas Halishka Hayoisna Sam, they come from the Machzis HaShekel. Omalei, and he responded, Ein Nasa El Metrumas Halishka. They're only made from the Trumas Halishka. Eisvei asked the Gemara, there's a pasuk in Divrei Hayomim that says, Ukechaloisam, when they finished restoring the Beis HaMikdash, Havil Afnei HaMelech V'Yoda, Ashara Kesef, V'yaseu Kelim L'Beis Hashem Klisharis. Here we're referring to money that was brought for Bedek HaBayis, and it clearly says in the Pasuk that this money was used for the Klisharis. Amalei, so he responded, the Karyuch Ksuvi, the person who taught you Psukim in Ksuvim, the Vayomim is part of Ksuvim, Lo Karyuch Navi, did not teach you Navi. Because the Pasuk says in Malachim, Ach lo yase beis Hashem sipois, they would not make instruments or gold or silver vessels from the Bedek HaBayis, kil osa melochi etneu, they were used for the Beis HaMikdash. So we see the Bedek HaBayis funds have to be used exclusively for the Beis HaMikdash. They can't be used for klisharis. Asked the Gemara, Ihochi Koshikra Dodi, but we have a steer in the Psukim. The Pasukim Ksuvim seems to say the Bedek HaBayis funds may be used for Klisharis. The Pasukim Malachim says they aren't used for Klisharis. Answers the Gemara, Loi Kasha. Kansha Gavav Esiru. If they collected money and they had left over from the Bedek HaBayis, they could be used for the Klisharis. Kansha Gavav Loi Esiru. If they don't have left over money, then it's used strictly for the Bedek HaBayis. Ask the Gemara, v'chi gavav v'yisiru mayhava, even if they have leftover money, but this money was brought for Bedek HaBayis, how could it be used for klisharis? Amr Gavua, Lei Bez the Masnaleim, that is the condition on which they are brought, that im Hitzruchu, Hitzruchu, if the money is needed for Bedek Abayis, they should be used for Bedek Abayis. From Lav, if they're not used, if they're not necessary for that purpose, Yi Klai Sharis, they could be brought for the Klai Sharis. And as the Mefarshim explained, when somebody gives money for these purposes, they allow Bezdin to determine what are the needs they should be used for. Tanabei Rav Shmuel, Klai Sharis b'ayim Trumas Halishka. The Klai Sharis came from the Trumas Halishka. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, Eshar HaKesef, that the Shar Kesef was used for Klai Sharis. Eizu Kesef Sheyesh LeShrayim, as we described earlier, what type of funding typically has left over? Havayim is that Trumas Halishka. So we see that the Trumas Halishka was used for the Klai Sharis. Ask the Gemara of Eimus Shirayim Gufayu. And here we have an interesting machlokes, how to understand what this Gemara's question is. Most Mefarshim explain that the Gemara's question is, why do we say that the money used to buy the Klai Sharis is the Shiyorei Halishka money that we explained earlier? Perhaps it's the Meiser Truma, the money left over that wasn't spent on Kabanis. Others say that the Gemara's question is, who says that we use Truma Salishka money? Maybe we should use Bedek Abayis money. Answers the Gemara, Amar Rava Ha'oila, Oila Rishayna. Just like when the pasuk says Ha'oila, to show that that's the first carbon that's brought, the carbon Tamid is the first carbon that should be brought. Hachnamik Kesef Rishin, that it comes to refer to the money that's used first, the Trumas Halishka money. Meisvei asked the Gemara, the Brisa says, Haktiris v'kol kabanas tzibur boi metrumas halishka. The Haktiris and all other kabanas tzibur come from Trumas Halishka. Ask the Migdash David, why does the Brisa have to single out the Haktiris? Isn't Haktiris the same as all other kabanas tzibur? And if we learn that all kabanas tzibur come Trumas Halishka, so too should the Haktiris. Answers the Migdash David, as we said earlier, the Lishka money was used for Kabanis. Kabanis are brought for a year. Next year we have to have new Maxis HaShekel. The Ktiris, however, we know, were prepared into 365 portions, Keneged Yemay Sachama, corresponding to the solar year. So since the Ktiris is not limited to the same amount of days as regular Kabanis, we would say that they shouldn't be brought from the Maxis HaShekel money. That's what the Bryce has to say, that the Ktiris is brought from Machzor Shekel money, just like all other Kabanas Tzibur. Mizbeach Azov Ulevona v'Klisharis, the Mizbeach Azov, the Levona, that they used to use to put on the Shulchan every week, and the Klisharis, Bom and Meiser Nesachim, come from the Meiser Nesachim. What is Meiser Nesachim? So the two Pshatim given by the Rishonim. One Pshat is that we know when a carbon is brought, with the carbon had to come along a carbon minchas nesachim, which is made out of flour and oil with wine. Now, typically when they brought the flour, they brought the flour that it should overflow over the utensil in which it was brought in. And then they would smooth and flatten it out. That leftover flour is called the mice in the nesachim. Another pshat is that at the beginning of the year, the Beis HaMikdash administrators would contract for flowers, for flour for the whole year, as a commodity. However, they were guaranteed against any loss, because if the price of flour dropped, they would pay the lower price. And if the price of flour went up, they were locked in to the lower price. And sometimes they profited on that commodity trading. That's called Mois Nesachim. Mizbech Hazov, Mizbech Oila Halishkois V'Hazoris, Boim and Kutcher Bedek Abayis, were all brought from Kutcher Bedek Abayis. Ask the Hafla, if the Mizbech Hazor Oila, which the Mizbech HaChitzon, only comes from Bedek Abayis funding, so we know that the Machtois, the pans that were used by Adas Koirach, were brought, would eventually used to coat the Mizbech Oila. But those pans, asks to have flaw, were Klisharis. Kli Sharis, we just learned, come from the Machzis HaShekel. Here we're saying that the Mizbach HaChitzoim comes from Bedek HaBayis. So how could pans whose funding came from the Machzis HaShekel as the floor be used for the Mizbach HaChitzin who's supposed to be funded from the Bedek HaBayis? Answers the Zera Avraham that our Gemara is referring to the Beis HaMikdash. In the Beis HaMikdash, the Mizbeach HaChitzin was a permanent structure. And that's why it's called, that's why its funding comes from the Bedek HaBayis. However, in the Beis in the Mishkan, where the story of Korach took place, the Mizbeach HaChitzin wasn't a permanent structure. It traveled with Klal Yisrael in the Midbar. And since it wasn't a permanent structure, its funding came from the Machzis HaShekel, and therefore the pans, which were klisharis, which also came from Shiori Halishka, could be used to coat that Mizbeach. Chaimetz HaZorah, the city, Yerushalayim, outside the wall of the Zorah, Bar Mishar HaLishka, any upkeep came from the Shiori HaLishka. Zushi Shanina, and this is what we learned in the Braisa, HaChaimus Eir Migdlasel, the city wall, the towers, and all the Tzarchi Eir, all the needs of the city, Bar Mishar HaLishka. So here we see that the Shiori, that the Klisharis came from the Meiser and the Sochim. Rav said that they came from the Machzis HaShekel, says the Gemara, Tanoihi. This reflects the Machlokes Tanoim. The Tana, Maisa Truma, the leftover of the Truma of the Machzis HaShekel, Mai Oisabah, recuse of Tzipel Beis Kodesh Kedoshim. They were used to make gold sheets to coat the Kodesh HaKedoshim. Rav Shmuel Oimer, Maisa Peris, the profit from the Peris, which the Gemara will explain in a moment what it is, were brought Leketz HaMizbeach, that if the Mizbeach didn't have any Kabbonis being brought on it, they were used for that purpose, to bring Kabbonis. Maisa Truma, the leftover, the Truma HaShekel, were brought to Kli Sharis. The Kivayma, Maisa Truma, was used for the Ketz HaMizbeach. Maisa Nesachim were used for the Kli Sharis. So we see there's a Machloikas Tanoim, what was used for what. Rav Chanina Sakanakanamimer, Maisa Nesachim were used for the Ketz HaMizbeach. And Maisa Truma was used for Kli Sharis. However, Zevazeh, Rabbi Kiva and Rechnein Eskan HaKahanim, Lo Yemoidim HaPeiris. They don't agree that they had Mois HaPeiris. Because Peiris Mahi, what are Mois HaPeiris? The Tanya, Mois HaTruma, if they had left over Machzis HaShekel, Maya Oisaba, what would they do with it? Loichem Peiris Bezol, they would buy produce, fruit, for cheap, or Machzis HaBeyoiker, and then sell them for more expensive, V'schar Mekitzim B'Mizbeach, and the profit was used to bring Kabbonis on the Mizbeach. Zu Shishaninu, and this is what we learned earlier in the Braisa, that Mois HaPeiris were used L'Keitz HaMizbeach. Mai Zev Ezeloi Moed M'Peiris, so why don't Kiva and Rechnin and Sagan Kehanim agree that they had this Mois HaPeiris? The Tanan, Mois HaShiorei Elishka, the leftover, the Machzis HaShekel, Mai Oisimba, and what would they do with it? Loichem Ben Yainish, Mein and Vesalt, that they would buy with them oil, flour, and wine, Veschal Hegdish, and the profit of the sale would go to the Hegdish, Divrei Rav Yishmael. Rav Kiva disagrees. He doesn't believe that they did any business with these commodities, because Eim Estak Mishal Hegdish, we shouldn't use Hegdish for profit, Afloi Bishalaniyim, nor stock of money which is set aside for poor people should be used to conduct business to make profit. Bishal Hegdish my Tamaloi, why not? Why shouldn't they make profit with these items? Says the Gemara, Ein Anis B'Makom Mashiras. It's unbecoming to Hegdish that they should have to stoop to start trying to make profit with these commodities. It's not nice for Hegdish. But Shanim my Tamaloi, and why shouldn't funds designated for the poor be used to make business? Because Dilma Misramalei Anya, because we're concerned that there may be a poor person come for Lekla Mesavalei, and if all the money is tied up in business, there won't be any money available to spend for to give the aniyim that need it. So the Mefarshim ask, our Gemara says a concept of ein aniyas b'makom ashiras. Yet we also know that many times the Gemara says hatayra chasa amumanim shal Yisrael. So how do we reconcile these two concepts? So Mefarshim explained that in a situation where we're concerned that by being this way, Hegdish will have a loss, there we say, Ein Anias v'makom Mashiras. So in our Gemara, if we're going to tie up funds of Hegdish, when those funds will be needed, they may not be available. We don't want that to happen, and we say, Ein Anias v'makom Mashiras. However, when that concern doesn't exist, we say, Atarech Chosam Amanu Shal Yisrael. The Paisim also discuss here that the Gemara says that funds that are set aside for poor people should not be invested. So the Paisim can discuss if somebody has a tzedakah fund, a tzedakah foundation, may he invest those funds or may he not? From our Gemara it seems that he may not. So the Shlah and the Taz say that if the person who's investing the tzedakah funds is in the status that if an ani, if a poor person will approach him for money, even if his stock of foundation money is tied up, he has other funds available to give to this poor person. And furthermore, if he invests it, he undertakes that if there's profit, the profit will go to the Tzedakah Foundation. But if there's a loss, he will absorb the loss. Under those circumstances, the Rishlah and Taz say Tzedakah Foundation money may be invested. Otherwise, it should be just left, as Al Gemara said, set aside, Dilma Misramalei Anya.